Blog
yo, yo,
Talk
yo.
Radio.
Yo, yo, to yo. What's up, everybody? It's Lee and Keys from Real Talk Radio. Boy, we got a big show for y'all tonight. So much stuff is going on in the UFC. A lot of fights was announced today. But before I get in that, what's up, Keys? How you doing, bro? Yo, what up, Keys? Hold on, let me try something real quick. On all nights. Hey. Oh, this shit ain't working. All right, me and my co-host have some issues right now. I think it's on my end, though, because normally I do this on my laptop computer, but my laptop doesn't want to work tonight. My laptop doesn't want to work, and it seems like my phone doesn't want to allow Keys into the queue. So let me see what I can do to get my man Keys on this call. Let me try some. Let me try this. Let's try to merge a call. Add a call. I think that's it. The contract. The key is ready to talk. Hey, that's what this way you know our show.
How about
is
this?
Live.
You hear me now?
Hey, that go my man.
Hey man, they try to hold me back, bro. You know the Matrix tried to hold me down, man. They wouldn't let me on the air, but I broke through, so it's all right. We out here, man. I'm out of Twitter jail and I'm out of Blog Talk. I'm out of Twitter jail and I'm out of Blog Talk Radio jail. So let's get it, bro. We got a lot to talk about.
Yeah, I saw you was out of Twitter jail. But look, man.
Yeah, man.
Let's go ahead and
jump. They had me locked up, man. They didn't want to let me out on bail or nothing.
Yeah, you know, sometimes some of these people run these social media sites, you know, and they could be a little bit sensitive. But let's jump into it, man. Let's talk about the news over the weekend, man. We're just going to start at the top. We're looking at ESPN right now, top headlines. The UFC let Francis Ngannou walk. They said they couldn't reach a deal. They said he was asking for a lot. They offered him to be the highest paid heavyweight in UFC history. You know, and he turned it down. I don't know whether or not you saw Ngannou's interview with Ariel Helwani where he explained his side. You know, he said, according to the new deal, he would have had no rights, no power. And I think, man, you talked about this. He wants to do the boxing thing. And the UFC wasn't going to allow him to do the boxing thing. I don't understand why you won't allow your fighters to branch out outside of the UFC, especially if it's giving your company positive promotion, positive press. But what was your thoughts when you heard Ngannou and the UFC was split ways?
My thought was, I'm really not a big Ngannou fan. It doesn't really move me too much, but at the same time, you know, I thought, you know, there's got to be more to it. He's running from the John Jones fight or anything. Like, I don't think anything like that. A lot of people are saying that, but it's not. I don't think that at all. But the thought I did have is, you know, when Dana White's saying, you know, we offered him a deal to become the highest paid heavyweight in UFC history, and he turned it down. I'm like, all right, well, that's a little bit confusing. You know, I didn't really understand that. You know, if he was going to get paid more than Brock Lesnar got paid. I mean, some people say, oh, Brock Lesnar made that in 2016. But you got to remember, Brock Lesnar is not just a UFC fighter. He's already a star before he even touches the UFC cage. So it's not like he's just a guy, you know, that's coming, you know, from the ground up. And Ganu is a from the ground up name. You know, he was in MMA and then, you know, really got big in the UFC. And that's a lot of these guys. They don't have another situation. Brock Lesnar's a major star in the WWE. He's been for over 20 years. So it's not like, it's not really comparable. You can't say, like, why is Brock, like, I can understand why Brock's making more, because he's coming in and he's bringing tons of other eyes from his game to watch him fight in the octagon. So that's why guys like that will get compensated for that. I can understand it. You know, it's like you're bringing a whole brand with you. But, you know, they want to pay him more, and then Ngannou didn't want to take it. But then, so what I said was this. I'm like, okay, he didn't want to, you know, be the highest paid. So there's got to be more to it than that, though. So I looked at the MMA Hour, Ariel Helwani had Ngannou on. It was either Monday or Tuesday. And then, yeah, it was Monday, I think, because I watched it. I think last night I was watching it because I wanted to know a little bit of the facts before we got on here. I'm like, let me see what Ngannou's talking about. Let me hear about what his stipulation was that made him not, you know, come to terms. Why did he not take it? And then, so what he said was this. Did you see the interview? Or did you see what he said?
Yeah, I'm reading over it right now. I read over before we started, so I'm reading over again right now. Go ahead.
Yeah, so to put it in short, his thing was this. It wasn't about the pay. It was, they didn't want to negotiate, like, a full contract. He wanted the other terms of the contract. It wasn't about, oh, it wasn't enough money. Because, like, that was one of the initial thoughts I had was, like, how big does this guy think he really is? Like, if you think that, like, you already getting paid as, you know, the highest paid heavyweight ever is kind of, that's kind of, I think that might be too much, you know what I mean? I don't even know if he's really worth that to me, to be honest. I don't even know if he's worth being the highest paid heavyweight. But, you know, his thing was health insurance. He wanted long-term health insurance, and I don't think he just wanted it for himself. I think he wanted it for himself and just across the board. That's what he made it sound like, is that he was asking for long-term health insurance for himself and fighters across the board. He wanted a fighter advocate, which I don't really know what that means, but maybe he's talking about, like, UFC pays for management or something. He said a fighter advocate for fighters. That must have – I don't really know exactly what he meant, but there was that, and then there was them to be able to have sponsorships inside the cage. So it's not all just, okay, everyone has to wear the Reebok. Now everyone has to wear the Venom shorts. You know, they would be able to rock their own sponsorships, you know, for brands that they've done deals with inside the cage. So those were the three terms that Ngannou wanted in the negotiations. And basically he said that the UFC just kept offering the money. You know, they kept just saying, you'll be the highest paid heavyweight ever, and they just kept pushing. It was about the money for them. They weren't going to, you know, they said, I want to say that he said, we don't do business that way. That he said that, you know, they were saying, we don't do business that way, so we wouldn't, you know, they weren't going to agree to those three stipulations. They weren't going to do it, and they just wanted to offer him the money, and he wasn't okay with that, so, you know, he bowed out.
Yeah, man. I think the main thing, I mean, the UFC was willing to give him a three-fight deal, you know. They were willing to give him a three-fight deal, but they weren't going to allow him to do the boxing. And that's the one thing that he really wanted to do. And I was with him with the with some of the stuff he was asking for. But, you know, when you go into negotiations, you got to have give and take. You got to compromise on some things. I think the thing that Ngannou wasn't willing to compromise on was he wants to do both. He said he was willing to fulfill a three-fight deal, but he wanted to also box. I think the thing that I really liked about what he said was the health care for the fighters. Man, Keys, people just have to realize health care is very, very important. As me and you have talked about, when we say health care, it ain't just your physical. Your mental health care is very important these days as well. Some of these fighters don't make enough money to, you know, pay for health care. So, you know, like I was listening to Demetrius Johnson talk today. He said that when he fought Dominique Cruz for the belt, he got paid $14,000. He said by the time he paid all his bills for his camp, for, you know, transportation, food, and all that good stuff, he said he ended up owing money because of that. He said the UFC then bumped him up to $16,000. I just don't understand what's going on with the money, man. But Ngannou's heart was in the right place. I don't want to get off track. His heart was in the right place with the NK sponsorship, the health insurance. And his athlete advocate, what that is, that's a person that's paid to assist the fighters. Basically, you know, if a guy is looking for a camp to go to, you know, they help them set up training times with that camp. Or if they need a chef or something like that, they help them with stuff like that. So basically, the advocate position is just a liaison for the fighter, that's all. But I knew back in when he first came a free agent, I didn't think Dana really wanted to sign him because he knew what Francis was about. So, you know, I don't know what Francis is going to do as far as MMA, because when we look over at Bellator, the heavyweight division is what, Chet Congo, Ron Bader, Fedor is going to fight his last fight. I don't even know who the heavyweights are in one championship. So, I don't know, man. I just wish him the best of luck. You know, hopefully he can, you know, be able to do his thing, be able to be an independent contractor and all that good stuff. But with Francis not being able to come to a deal, it was announced that John Jones will be fighting your boy Cyril Gane for the heavyweight title in March. Your first thoughts when you heard that?
Oh yeah, and also to add to it, that I pay a little bit of attention to the one championship heavyweight division because my boy Rainer D. Ritter was the double champ. I think he was the middleweight champ at one point, and then he moved up, won the light heavyweight belt, and then he moved up again and won the heavyweight belt. So he was the double champ, and then he just recently lost by first round knockout to this dude, Anatoly Malikin or Malikin. Yeah, so that guy, Anatoly Malikin, is the one heavyweight champion. But overall, I don't think Ngannou is going to really help himself by going. I don't know. As far as the insurance front, I don't know what these guys offer for health insurance, but I don't know. As far as pay, I mean, it's kind of a step down at this point. Like, from what he was going to get offered in pay at the UFC, he would go get paid to fight these dudes over there, fight Ryan Bader over there. You know, it's going to be a massive drop in pay, and I don't know if they offer the long-term health insurance either. As far as the UFC right now, while you were talking, I was just pulling it up, and I guess in 2011, Zuffa started – you know, they came up with the deal to offer the type of health insurance they offer now, which is really just having to do with injuries, you know, sustained on, you know, UFC grounds pretty much in the octagon. So it's, you know, this says UFC does not currently offer long-term health insurance, only in the instances where a fighter is injured during a fight or in a training camp for a scheduled bout does a promotion cover medical expenses for active talent on their roster. That's as of last year. So they, you know, it's they offer health insurance in a certain type of way, but not the type that these fighters want. Not you don't have a long-term health insurance, and the health insurance is also not covering their health outside of the cage and outside of competition. So that's you know, it seems that's what's being asked for, and that's totally understandable. What was the thing that you were asking me about? Was it the Demetrius Johnson with the 30-30?
No. So with Ngannou being released, it came out that my boy John Jones will be fighting your boy Cyril Gane for the heavyweight title in March. When you heard that news, was you happy? Was you ecstatic? Was you indifferent? How was you feeling?
I mean, the first time I saw it was there was a dude that took a video outside of, I think, T-Mobile Arena, and they had it on, like, those electronic banners, you know, outside the arena. And it's, like, that big sign, and it said Jones versus Gane, and that was going viral, like, right before, like, the same day they ended up announcing it. And I feel like they only announced it because it was already out there. You know, maybe they wanted to announce it at this weekend's pay-per-view or something like that, I would imagine, but I think it's a great fight. You know, I was happy about that. Now they're saying, you know, John Jones, it sounds like he's going to get that payday that Ngannou was going to get. And because now they're saying John Jones will, you know, for this fight, he'll become the highest paid heavyweight ever. So, hey, John Jones is going to get the bag. And, you know, I'm not a John Jones fan at all, but, you know, he's going to get the bag. So I'm glad somebody's going to get the bag because, in a way, I feel like, you know, I get what he was trying to stand up for, but at the same time, Francis kind of fumbled the bag, man. He fumbled a big bag, you know what I mean? I don't know. I love the fight.
I don't think he went in with the idea of, I'm going to make this negotiation easy. I want to leave the UFC. I think those were the two things at the top of his in his mind. And he made it happen. But I am very excited for this Jones versus Gane fight. This is probably two of the most athletic heavyweights probably in UFC history. Both guys got multiple skill sets. Jones, like I said, I think I said it before, I don't think he was motivated at 205 anymore. So him moving up to heavyweight where people are going to be doubting him, I think his fire is going to be relit. I can't wait for this fight, man. I think this fight is going to be a banger. Also today, we found out that your girl, Irene Aldana, will be fighting on that same card, I think. We'll be taking on the bantamweight champion, Amanda Nunes. I saw on Twitter that you were super-duper stoked about that.
Yeah, I was out, you know, doing some errands today, and I had today off. I was out there doing some errands and stuff, and I really haven't been tapped into MMA Twitter lately, so I'm not seeing the updates and stuff like that, and I don't really know what's going on. I haven't really been in the loop as much, but I had saw, the one that I saw first was the Shevchenko and Alexa Grasso, and I was like, okay, and then after that, I saw, I think it's a follower on Twitter. I think it's Miss MMA Casual, I want to say. And she was tweeting that Aldana was getting the title fight too. And I was like, Aldana's fighting for who title? She's fighting for what title? Where? You know what I mean? Because I've been waiting for that. I mean, how long have I been talking about Irene Aldana, though? You know what
about
I mean?
About 3 years.
Come on, bro. I've been, you know, and come on. And it might even be longer than that. Like, but it years, though, like, you know, since she was unranked, I was talking about her, like, she was, you know, having good performances. I think she's, like, the only one that I'm checking for her fight, you know what I mean? And it's I think that's epic, man. I am really excited. I'm pumped, bro. That's big. I figured this day would come at some point, you know. I just didn't know when. And I figured she would just keep winning fights, and eventually, you know, stars aligned, they'd make it happen. I didn't know it would happen now, but I'm pumped, bro. I'm let's go. It's big, man. It's big.
Yeah, man. I'm happy for Irene Aldana, man. I think she did it the right way. She went in there and fought everybody they put in front of her. She kept getting better. I don't think she ever called out Amanda Nunes. I think she just kept fighting that next person, kept fighting the next person, kept moving up, moving up, moving up. I think if she can avoid the power of Amanda Nunes, I think if she can get the fight to the ground, I think she has a chance of winning this fight. As we know, sometimes Nunes' ground game is good, sometimes it's not. So, but I'm proud of Irene, man. I think the UFC, hey, this is a great fight. This is a great fight. Another fight that was announced was Petr Yan versus our boy, Mirab Dilishvili. That's going to be in March also. When I heard about this fight, when I saw it, I immediately tweeted out that this is a great fight for Mirab. This is a fight that will show people if he has if he's championship material or not. I know one fight, he didn't look good in the beginning, but then he powered his way back, had a finish. But this right here is a step up in competition for him. Fighting the ex-champ, I love this fight. How you feel about this fight?
Man, Yan and Mirab?
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, that's another one that I didn't expect to see. I'm surprised about this. You know, I thought maybe Yan, I mean, it makes sense in the division. It makes sense with their rankings. I want to say they're number two and number three, or number one and number two. I think they're number two and number three. And it's – I'm down, man. It did blindside me, but I did figure we would get that fight at some point, you know. So I figured, you know, sometime soon we would get it. I mean, Mirab has only been climbing. Another one that we've been talking about for a while. We've been talking about Mirab, so that's another one that's been climbing. And, you know, I remember Mirab when he was, like, you know, ranked 13. Like, I remember when he was, like, people didn't know who that was. And, you know, watching the training videos of him and Aljo training together. But, yeah, this is one that it was always going to happen. It just it was a matter of when. And, hey, they blindsided me, but I'm happily blindsided. You know what I mean? This is a great fight. I'm looking forward to it. Which card is that? That was on, like, a Fight Night card, isn't it?
Yeah, this was going to be a Fight Night card main event. And it's going to be four in the Apex, I think.
It's going to be in the Apex?
It's going to be at the Virgin Hotels in Vegas, so it's not going to be in the Apex. If it was at the Apex, I think it would be definitely a much more action-packed fight. It's number four against number five. Yan is ranked number four. Mirab is ranked number five.
Yeah, but the thing with the Apex stuff, you know, we got to stop this no crowd thing, man. That's a big part of watching these crowds, too, is you see, like, 20,000 people, you know, in the arena. It's like when they're making the walkouts, it brings this, and you can hear the crowd roaring, you know what I mean? It makes this, it creates a whole different energy, man. That's a whole part of, like, all these fights, boxing fights, MMA fights. Like, that's essential to the game, you know? It's like, you got to have crowds, man. It's a whole part of the energy, man. And it's even for the fighters, I feel like. Even, you know, having the crowd versus not having the crowd is, like, I know there's pros and cons. You know, we've seen some great fights, you know, with 20 people there, you know, but no, I think that one you gotta do it right. And the first thought I had was, why wouldn't they put it on the John Jones card? But at the same time, why wouldn't they put it on there? I think they obviously it couldn't be a main event, and they would want that to be a main event. So that's probably why they didn't do it. And because it's a week apart, I think that one is the weekend after the Jones card.
Yeah, I am so stoked for Moran because his last fight against Jose Aldo, man, I think that was a controversial decision, man. I think a lot of people felt Jose did enough to win the fight. So I think this is a way for Moran to put kind of some of that doubt out of people's minds by beating a former champion. It was announced Leon Edwards and Kamaru Usman is going to rematch at UFC 286. And the UFC is working on Justin Gaethje versus Rafael Fiziev in March also. I think I'm excited for this Gaethje fight, man. Fiziev is a guy that's going to stand there and throw blows. So I think this is going to be a fan-friendly fight. I think both guys will sit there and exchange bombs. And whoever can throw the biggest bomb is probably going to win the fight. So, that fight is going to be in March also.
Another banger, man. And also, our boy Rob Font, they locked it in. Rob Font versus Adrian Yanez, man. That one's going down in April. I want to say it said April 8th. So these next couple months, man, I mean, we're finishing up January. We got a couple fights this weekend. First pay-per-view, then February it's going down. March it's going down. In April it's going down. Like this first quarter is looking pretty crazy so far. It's looking pretty crazy. And it's almost – like, you're putting all these fights out there, and we're forgetting that we actually have Islam fighting Volkanovski in a couple of weeks, too. We're forgetting we have that card. And you have the interim featherweight title fight on that card. So, there's a lot of good fights, man. And I'll say this. Speaking of Aldo and Murad, probably – my biggest gripe, and if really, like, I mean, the card, obviously, there could be better, the one this weekend, and I still like the card, but it's kind of like the fights are kind of sprinkled on the card. Like, you got, like, Terrence McKinney is, like, on the early prelims or something weird like that. So, like, you have bangers kind of, like, sprinkled, like, throughout the card. It's not, like, all – it doesn't give you it all in one go. It's kind of – they're kind of spread out. But shout-out Terrence McKinney, by the way. That's my guy. But – so with Aldo, that's probably my gripe with this weekend's card, 283, is I just think Aldo should have fought one more time, man, and he should be on this pay-per-view. Like, he should 100% be on this pay-per-view. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm pretty sure they got Shogun Rua on this pay-per-view. He's from Brazil. You should have had the King of Rio there, man. Should have had him. Like, the fact that they couldn't get him to do another fight with the way he was just looking – there's no way that he couldn't – that should have been the way he went out. You know what I'm saying? He should have retired in Rio. I mean, King of Rio retires on the throne in Rio and give him, whatever matchup you want to give him. He's going to, give him something. He's going to win that fight, and have him go out on a win, set him up, nice. You know what I mean? Or you just give him a guy that, they're going to have a banger regardless. You know what I mean? I don't know who you would give him, but – I think he should have fought one more time on this Rio card, man, and retire in Rio on a win. That's the way you do it, man. That's my gripe this weekend.
Yeah, I agree with you. I thought Aldo should have been given the chance to retire, on this card. But I think his plan was if he wasn't going to be fighting for the belt, then he wasn't going to fight. So, and then, he got the little, I'll call it a controversial decision against Moran. But, man, the fight games, it is what it is. The best way to win the fight is by either finishing your opponent or submitting them, not by letting it go to the judges' scorecards. But, man, let's go ahead and jump into this weekend's card, which just happened to be on my birthday, January 21st, man. We got a big card, man. So you ready to make some predictions?
Yeah, let's get it, bro. You got the card pulled up or you want me to pull it up? I'm going to pull it up anyway.
All right, so let's go a little old school tonight. I'm going to ask this question, but I think I know your answer already. Which fighter are you going to have your eye on?
I mean, you know, I'm rooting for my boy Jamal Hill to get that title, man. You know that. This is Jamal Hill's fight card, bro. This is Jamal Hill. Oh, we got. Oh no, okay, that's not. Let me look at this. Let me look at this. 2 seconds. Who we got? So we got Glover and Jamal Hill. We got Figueiredo Moreno. Man, that Moreno's about to. Yeah, we already know that. Burns. Okay, we got Andrade on here. Paul Craig and Johnny Walker. Oh man, that's a banger, bro. That might be fight of the night, man. That's a sleeper right there. You already know people are sleeping on that. Shogun
Hu
is on there.
The crazy part is, last time we talked, Shogun Hu was on the main card, and now he's been pushed down to the prelims. I know last week when we talked about this, he was on the main card, but they moved it. Thank you, UFC. Somebody must have been listening to our show. There was no reason to have Shogun Hu on the main card. This guy's definitely past his prime. So, yeah, good move by moving him off the main card. Appreciate y'all.
For real, no, that was the right move all along. Y'all know you had to move this around a little bit, you know you had to move this around. It's not right. And I'm going to tell you this. Oh, we got Cody Stamann is on the early prelims too. I didn't know Cody Stamann was on this card. Oh man, that's pretty cool. It's a good card, man. I think I kind of slept a little bit. I knew it was a good. I told you, we've been to it. It's sprinkled throughout, you know. These fights are sprinkled throughout the card, but I think my guy to watch on this card is my boy Terrence McKinney on the early prelims. I don't know if that's who you thought I would say, but that's who I'm watching.
That's what I thought you were going to say.
Terrence McKinney, bro, is coming in. And, you know, they're just trying to put him on the early prelims just to, you know, get that spark to kick off the card. You know what I mean? They want to have something explosive to, you know, wake people up going into, because he's the co-main event of the early prelims. So they want to, you know, they need that spark to wake people up. So that's understandable. You know, even though, you know, he's a main card fighter, but we'll let that one go. We'll let y'all rock with that weird card positioning, you know, for this time. But I think next time you got to at least have him in the prelims, the official prelims main event, or if not, like, the first fight of the main card. You know, you got to – if it's not one of those two things, then something's off, man. If it is not one of those, something is off. And besides that, this is going to be – this next guy is going to be honorable mention for this pick is this dude, Jailton Almeida. This dude, Jailton Almeida, is a minus 900 favorite, but I think I watched one of his last fights, and he kind of has a little bit of everything in his game. It's kind of scary, and he's fighting at heavyweight, too. So this is – it's kind of scary that this dude's at heavyweight, you know what I'm saying? I don't know how good these guys should feel about a dude like this being on the come up right now. He's about to break his way into the rankings. He's, you know, I fully expect, you know, he's fighting a number 15 ranked guy. If he beats him, I fully expect that they'll give him, you know, a spot in either 15 or 14. So yeah, he's the honorable mention. I got Terrence McKinney on the early prelims and then Jailton Almeida on the regular prelims.
Yeah, I totally agree. I mean, I think I'm gonna go with two guys, man. But they fight against each other. Paul Craig and Johnny Walker, man. Johnny Walker looked hella good in his last fight, man. Slapped on submission, won the fight. Paul Craig is just a guy that goes in there, grinds it out. But once he gets you down, he's going for the submission, man. So I want to see which one of these guys can, you know, come out and oppose their will on the other guy. I think it's going to be a great fight. But it all depends, like I said, on who can go in, implement their game plan, make the other guy uncomfortable, and fight a smart fight. Man, those two guys I'm going to have my eyes on, man. Man, this fight is a banger. And I'm glad the UFC put it on the main card. Well, then I said that, geez, let's make some predictions. Are you ready?
Let's go.
All right, man. Let's start with the first fight on the main card. We got Paul Craig, plus 160, going against Johnny Walker, minus 190. Who you got?
I'm going to go with Paul Craig for this one. It's kind of interesting to me that he's a plus 145 underdog. I mean, it's still pretty close odds, but at the same time, Paul Craig, I mean, Johnny Walker just dipped into the BJJ game. Like, he just became a submission guy. Like, he, for the first, I'm saying he just showed us that he was, you know, his skills there in his last fight. That was the first time we saw Johnny Walker do that. And Paul Craig's been doing that. You know, Paul Craig's been a well-rounded light heavyweight for a while. So, and I said this before, Paul Craig's pretty much, to me, is like a, you know, he's like the sleeper of the whole division. Like, I feel like this dude could probably beat everybody in the light heavyweight division right now. But it's almost like nobody talks about him as if he's that good. But I think he is that good. I think he'll beat Johnny Walker, but I'm going to be rooting for Johnny Walker, though. I would like to see Johnny Walker beat him, but I'm going to go with Paul Craig. Probably, I think Paul Craig will take this to the ground, and, you know, we'll get to see that competition. I think Paul Craig probably second round. I think second round submission.
I am going with the same guy. I love Paul Craig, man. I think Paul Craig is the last guy to beat Jamahal Hill. When he slapped, put him in the armbar, dislocated his arm. I like Paul Craig. I think he's a grinder. I think he needs to work on his striking. I think in this match, he's going to probably come out, you know, test Johnny Walker's power, and then he's going to take him down. And I'm going with a second-round submission. I'm going with Paul Craig, second-round submission, man. Next up, we got Lauren Murphy taking against Jessica Andrade. Andrade is a minus 500 going against Murphy, which is a plus 380. Who you got, Keys?
Let's see, flyweight. I'll probably go with Andrade in this one. I feel like Andrade will be better on the feet. And I think that'll be the difference with this one. I think Andrade is going to look good here. This is going to be a big performance for Jessica Andrade. I'm probably going to go with, and we know she likes to finish fights too. I think she will finish this fight too. Jessica Andrade, I'm going to go with second round TKO, Jessica Andrade.
I really want to go with Lauren Murphy, but I'm with you. I think this is Jessica Andrade's time to show everybody that her win against, was that her? That beat Amanda Nunes? I think that was her. But I like Jessica Andrade, man. I think she's going to win this fight. I think she fights at a higher pace than Lauren Murphy. Lauren Murphy is a good fighter, but she tends to fold against top-notch competition, and Jessica Andrade is as top-notch as you can get. So I'm going to take Jessica Andrade. I think she wins by unanimous decision in this fight. I don't know where she goes from here, being that she's already lost to Shevchenko. But a win keeps her in submitted in the top five. So, yes, I'm going to take Andrade with a unanimous decision. Whoo, this next fight, man, Gilbert Burns, minus 500, taking on Neil Magny, plus 380. Keys, every time we think Neil Magny needs to lose a fight, he normally comes out and shocks the world. Who do you have in this fight, bro?
Wow, Gilbert Burns wants to know, quote, how the fuck Bilal Muhammad took his spot in the UFC rankings. Wow. All right, Gilbert Burns is talking his stuff, man. He's talking his stuff at Media Day, man. I respect it. I'm not mad at it. Gilbert Burns is a beast, dog. It's okay. You know what I mean? And he grew his hair out. Gilbert Burns is, you know what I say, man. Gilbert He's going the other way, though. You know, his hair was much shorter before. Now he's growing it out. It's, you know, he's moving into a new style now. He's moving into a new psychological level here. You know what I'm saying? This is mental warfare from Gilbert Burns, man. It's like he's got like the small fro going on. You know, almost Gilbert Burns here. Neil Magny, that what you said is facts. Every time we say Neil Magny's going to lose, he wins. And usually when we think he's going to win, he typically loses. So it's kind of hard to say if he's ever going to win or lose, because you probably, whatever you say, he's going to do the opposite. So it's kind of hard to pick his fights, you know what I'm saying? Gilbert Burns is a minus 365. Man, Gilbert Burns is a beast, though. I don't know, man. I think I'm still going Gilbert Burns, man. I think, man, he looks so good for, like, the past couple of years, really. And, like, even in the – what was his last fight? He fought Khamzat? I think that was his last fight. That was kind of a while ago. He fought Khamzat, and, he debatably won that fight. He looked great in that fight. He was the first one to make Chimaev look human. Well, not look human, to show that he is human. And I think Burns is a dog, man. I think Burns, even though we predict Magny and then he wins, I can't go against Gilbert Burns, man. He's a beast. I think they'll go to decision, though. I think Gilbert Burns, unanimous decision is what I'm feeling here. This is small afro Gilbert Burns with the big silver chain on his neck. You know what I mean? He's coming in with a new aura this time. You know, he's going for it. UD.
Man, I'm with you, man. This is a very, very tough fight to pick, because when the chips are down, Neil Magny finds a way to pull out fights, man. But can he do it again Saturday? I'm going to say, thanks. Gilbert Burns, man, I don't know. I don't think he can finish. Well, Magny has been knocked out. I'm going to go Gilbert Burns, man. I'm going to go he pulls it out in the third round, man. I'm going to say Gilbert Burns, third round TKO against Neil Magny, man. That's what I'm going with. I like Neil Magny. It's amazing that he's still in the fight game and he's doing as good as he's doing. Now, would I be surprised he win? Yes, but I shouldn't be, because every time it seems like everybody's against him, he does something amazing and pulls out a fight. But I'm taking Gilbert Burns, man, third round TKO. All right, the fight that nobody really wants to see again, but it's the co-main event and it's for the flyweight champion. Chip, and it's for the fourth time. We got Davison Figueiredo plus 100 taking on Brandon Moreno at minus 120. Hopefully for the last time we'll be picking this fight. Who you got, Keys?
This is easy, man. I mean, I'll tell you this. I didn't see the third fight, so I can't reference that. I still haven't watched it. But I saw that first two fights. I thought Brandon Moreno won the first fight. I don't know what y'all like be going on about when you say like debating the rounds in the first fight. Like, yo, what? Who's debating the what rounds? You know what I mean? What rounds did you think? Yo, Moreno literally just won a fight when they fought for the first time. He just won a fight and then jumped in to fight Figueiredo on short notice. Figueiredo was supposed to fight, I think, Alex Perez or whoever he was supposed to fight. And then they fell out, and Moreno went in on short notice. He just beat a guy. Moreno just beat – he had a big win, I think, like a month before that fight or something like that, and then stepped in on short notice. What I saw in that fight was Figueiredo, you know, we know he doesn't really have – you know, he can go five rounds, but he doesn't look good for five rounds. That's what I would argue about him. He might go five rounds, but he's not going to be – consistent in those five rounds. He's not going to be the same all five. So Figueiredo, I thought, won the first round of their first fight. I thought Moreno won 2, 3, 4, and 5, and then they called it a draw, which I disagreed with. And then the second fight, Reyno just smashed him on the feet and then choked him out on the mat, and it was beautiful. So I thought Moreno was up 2-0 then. And then the third fight, I didn't see it. But, you know, my people were telling me that they thought Moreno won that fight too. So Moreno might be up 3-0 going into this, if you really think about it. And he's about to be up 4-0 because he's about to beat this dude down. I think Moreno is better in every area of the game. And I just think he comes in and just cements this one, man. I think he comes in and shows, you know, we're just going to go ahead and close this chapter, and he takes the belt, and that's it, and Figueiredo got to just walk, you know what I'm saying? And I'm going to actually add to you another thing, right? I'm going to add to you another thing. Now, first of all, is that Moreno is going to finish the fight because he knows that when he lets it go to the judges' scorecards that they like to play games when he fights this guy. They've already, you know, done that twice. And he's going to finish the fight. I think I'm going to go with Moreno via the key special, third round TKO, and just like Lee had the key special on his last pick, shout out Lee for the key special, and Moreno third round TKO, key special, and secondly, I just also want to say that you want to know why else Figueiredo is going to lose, Lee? You want to know why?
Because he already talking about moving up to 135.
That you know what? That's exactly why he's gonna lose. He's gonna lose twice over, because it's the same thing that we just said. What happened? Kamaru Usman was the whole build up to Leon Edwards talking about 205. He was facing off with John Bukovic in the back room, you know, after the event or whatever. And then, you know, he was winning the fight, but then he got KO'd. So now he's not the champion. And then same thing for, what was the other one? Charles Oliveira just had it. And Charles Oliveira's talking about he's going to move down to 145 and fight Volkanovski and all this. So he's already looking ahead of the fight. Islam was only focused on Oliveira, and it showed. So two instances right there. And now Figueiredo, in the same way, is, you know, an MMA junkie. You know, he's doing an interview, and he's talking about, you know, he's going to move up to 135. He's going to go fight for a second belt. And you're not even going to win this fight. I don't know how you're going to fight for a second. You're not even winning this fight. So I don't know how you can fight for a second belt if you're not even going to have one. You're not even going to have one. So you can't be a double champ with zero belts, because you're not even going to win at 135 either. I hate to say it, but you ain't beating Aljamain Sterling either. So I don't know what he's talking about, going on about with that. You're not going to win it, but regardless of it, you have to focus on this fight. And I think Brandon Moreno is focused on this fight so far from what I've seen. You know, I know we will have the press conference tomorrow, and we'll see where they're at, and we'll see the interviews in the next couple of days, and see maybe Brandon Moreno, we'll see where he's at. But so far, I haven't seen him talking about other guys. I haven't seen him talk about, you know, other divisions. So I think he's locked in on this one, and he's going to close the chapter. Third round TKO. The key special, and Figueiredo, shame on you.
I'm going with Moreno also. I'm just hoping that this is over. I'm hoping that after this fight, that when Moreno wins this fight via fourth round knockout, that Deyson Figueiredo moves up to bantamweight without the flyweight championship. I just think Brandon Moreno is the better fighter of the two. Although I think Deyson Figueiredo is harder out of the two, I just think Brandon Moreno just has more tools in the toolbox than Deyson Figueiredo. This fight has these two guys fighting each other. I've definitely put a hold on the division. So let's get this over with, Brandon Moreno. Need you to come through. Fourth round knockout. So Figueiredo can move up, and we can start fresh with some new competition in the flyweight division. Brandon Moreno, fourth round knockout. We move to the main event for the vacant light heavyweight title. Glover Teixeira, plus 115, taking on Jamahal Hill, minus 135. Keys, who you got?
All right, so, all right, here's how we got to go, man. This is tough for me because, man, I remember watching Jamal Hill, like, you know, I'm pretty sure this was another guy. I remember watching him when he was unranked. I'm pretty sure he fought, I think it was, what's this, light heavyweight? I think he fought Ovince St. Preux, I want to say. It was like one of the first fights I caught, you know, I caught notice of him. I think he was unranked at that time. And I was like, yeah, this dude's going to be a beast. And, man, this one is one of those ones where it's like Jamal Hill's -125 favorite, Teixeira's a +105. I think overall Glover Teixeira has more tools, you know what I mean? I feel like Glover Teixeira is the better MMA fighter, you know what I'm saying? I do think so. And I feel like this is also set up for Glover too, you know? I feel like Glover's, you know, he's also from Brazil. He's also later in his career. I feel like, let's see, how old is Glover? Glover, what's he, like 38, 39? Might be 40. I think he's 40.
Yeah.
No, he's older than that. Yeah, no, I'm undershooting. Glover was, I think, 40. I think he was, no, Glover's like 43, I think, maybe 44. Glover's older. Because I want to say when he won the belt, you know, last time, he was 42. So I'm pretty sure now he's probably like 43 or 44. And Jamal Hill, I want to say, is like maybe 28 or 29. He might even be younger than that. But it's – Glover has like four times the experience, man. That's the thing. You know, 41 fights versus Jamal Hill's 12 fights. Like, but Jamal Hill's got like the scrappiest style, you know. He's just going to be – he's just going to be in there fighting, man. That's it. He's just going to come in there throwing hands. That's it. So I don't know, man. Glover – I think Glover's the better overall fighter, and I want to say I lean towards Glover to win. I want to say there's a better chance of Glover winning. I think the stars are aligned for him, and this is a favorable matchup for him. But at the same time, Jamal Hill puts guys away, man. Yo, Jamal Hill puts guys away, bro. These guys, you know, Jamal Hill's fought a couple guys that I feel like were – you know, have more tools than him and had a lot more experience than him. And he puts guys like that away. You know what I mean? So, yo, it's just one of those things. It'll depend on a few factors. If Glover can get the fight where he wants it, if he can't get the fight where he wants it, it's going to be bad for him, man. It's going to be very bad for him, I think. And Anthony Smith and Jamal Hill have been training together. And that's pretty much what Anthony Smith said. He's like, you know, if the fight can go the way we want it, I think it's, you know, it's all day. So, you know, I'm going to go against the grain with what I've been doing, man. I think Jamal Hill, bro, I'm going with my heart, and I think Jamal Hill is going to make it. This is an upset, man. Even though he's a slight favorite, this is an upset in real, man. I think Jamal Hill's coming in for it. I think it'll have to be an early one, too. I can't even give you the key special. I think this is going to be a second round, bro. I think this is I'm going to go Jamal Hill, second round knockout. That's how we're going. I think Jamal Hill is going to know that he's got to get to it right away. He's got to be perfect, you know what I mean, in that first 10 minutes, you know, before Glover can get any takedowns or anything. So, yeah, I'm going Jamal Hill, second round knockout, to be the new UFC light heavyweight world champion.
Man, I'm kind of with you, Keys. I think if he don't get it done within the first two rounds, I think the fight is going to get harder for him, especially going against a guy like Glover, who's such a seasoned vet. So, for me, Jamal Hill, he has to close the show within the first three rounds. I think going into the fourth or fifth round, that would definitely favor Glover because of his experience. And also because he's not trying to fight at a fast pace, you know. So I think that plays into Glover's hands. Going with Jamal Hill to win the title. I like new blood. You know, Jamal Hill winning the fight at 205 opens a lot of interesting doors to a lot of interesting fights in the division. So, man, but Jamal, you got to get it done within the first three rounds, bro. If you don't get it done in the first three rounds, hopefully you have dominated enough in the first three rounds, or at least you're ahead on the judges' scorecards, because I just think in the fourth round, Glover going to start working. He's going to start working them over Keys. I probably could see Jamal fading down the stretch, but I'm going to say he does just enough to survive the fifth and final round, and he gets a decision, man. But I'm with you. This fight is tough. You know, looking at the tail of the tape, 79-inch reach advantage for our boy Jamal, 76 for Glover. Glover's orthodox stance, Jamal Hill southpaw. Man, significant straight accuracy. You got Jamal at 56, and you have Amanda at 60%. So this fight is close. It's close even in the measurement. So, but I'm going with Jamal Hill, man. You got any last words for the people?
Nah, I just do want to add that I like what you said. You know, I kind of lean towards the more subjective side of me for my main event pick, and we both did a little bit. And I like how you mentioned, you're like, yo, I just like new blood, and I'm like, fact. You know, that's a big thing that I kind of held back from saying a little bit, was that I'm as a fan, I'm a little bit tired of the shuffle at 205 with the same couple of guys. You know what I mean? It's like, and none of them can really hold on to the belt. It's like Glover Teixeira had the belt, he lost. Jan Blachowicz had the belt, he lost to Glover. You know, Jerry got the belt and then he had to drop the belt. So now we're fighting and for a vacant title, but now one of those same guys is fighting for that title again. It's like, and then what would they do if Glover won? You're going to have him fight Blachowicz again? It's like, or fight Jerry. It's like, come on, man. Like, we're just watching the same dudes fight over and over. It's like, we got to go ahead and give the real champ his chance. You know what I'm saying? Come on, man. Jamal Hill's the real champ. Hey, y'all got to stop playing around all these old dudes. I mean, all these old noodles, you know, moving around light heavyweight, man. Y'all been fighting for, you know, 20 years out here. We need to stop this. You know what I mean? We need a fresh champion. And his name's Jamal Hill, baby. Let's go.
Yeah, man. You know, I want to send our prayers and condolences to the family of my man Jay Briscoe, man. He was a wrestler for Ring of Honor, man. He died in a car accident in Delaware. He had his two daughters in the car. His two daughters got seriously injured. They're going through surgery today. But he passed away. But I'm glad his kids were able to survive the wreck. It was sad that I saw that. I saw it on my timeline because, like you, I mean, I've been on Twitter a lot here lately. You know, man, you know, that was one of the things I saw on one of the websites that popped up on my computer. And I'm like, damn, man, that's my boy right there. But other news, Jake Paul is going to fight Tyson Fury in Saudi Arabia. So they say this third time they're trying to make this happen.
You talking about Tommy Fury?
Like, yeah, Tommy Fury, yeah. So,
yeah.
But I wouldn't be surprised if Francis Ngannou didn't fight on that card. Don't be surprised if Francis Ngannou don't fight on that card. But that being said, everybody have a great weekend. It's my birthday weekend. I shall be watching this card. I shall be a Ciroc boy in full effect Saturday. I shall be lit on Saturday. So, that being said, everybody have a great weekend. Everybody be safe. Everybody take care of yourselves. As always, we end the show with a peace.